Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm good, man. Glad to have you on the show as always.
Glad to be on here as usual.
Thank you. And I'm glad for you guys, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. You know, what we do on this show, we talk sports, entertainment, everything else. And on today's show, we're going to talk about, you know, the Astros controversy, you know, the sign-stealing controversy that, you know, the Astros and the Red Sox and, unfortunately, even the Mets was dragged into this mess. You know, I'll give you my thoughts on it and the aftermath of it. I'll also talk about NFL championship Sunday with the conference finals going down tomorrow. Also talk a little WWE. And, you know, most importantly, you know, you guys know the number. Feel free to call in and we'd love to hear from you. But before we get into the, you know, we talk about the, you know, the Astros, you know, controversy. I think we should, you know, talk about the, you know, the passing of, you know, the WWE legend Rocky Johnson, also known as, you know, The Rock's father. And, you know, he was best known, you know, for teaming up with Tony Atlas and becoming the first tag team, you know, the black tag team to win the tag team titles. And, of course, you know, The Rock, you know, he was, of course, the father of The Rock, who, of course, is a future WWE Hall of Famer. But, yeah, he passed away, I think, at the age of 75, just a few days ago. You know, my thoughts and prayers are, you know, with The Rock and, you know, his family.
Yeah, very, very sad day for the Johnson family. Yeah, I mean, as you said, his father, Rocky Johnson, was one of the first black wrestlers to lead the way in the WWE, you know, becoming the first black tag team to win the, at the time it was WWF Championship, I think.
Right.
At the time they won it. So, yeah, I mean, it was a historical thing, and, you know, then he passed his legacy on to Dwayne The Rock Johnson,
mm-hmm.
who became, you know, one of the best wrestlers ever in the WWF. You know, and so, yeah, I mean, it's a sad time right now for the Johnson family. My condolences go out to The Rock and his family. I mean, he'll definitely be remembered as one of the WWF / WWE legends, and you know, he got inducted in the Hall of Fame, so it was good to see
right.
The Rock induct his father in the Hall of Fame. I thought that was a pretty special moment there when
right.
that happened. So yeah, man, there's no words to describe, you know what's happened. But yeah, again, my condolences to their family.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, you're right. You know, it's good to see that, you know, his you know, his son, The Rock, was able to induct them. You know, I think that was like in 2008.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was good that he was able to, you know, go in instead of going posthumously like a lot of, you know, legends have been going in lately. So it was good to see that he had his day in the sun to, you know, get inducted.
Yep.
And, yeah, that's how The Rock, you know, got his wrestling name. Because I think Vince McMahon, maybe Pat Patterson, I can't remember who else, they, you know, they came up with a name, you know, for Dwayne Johnson, you know, to honor his father, Rocky Johnson, and his grandfather, Rock's mom, Ada's father, the High Chief, Peter Maivia. So they came up with Rocky Maivia, which, you know, of course, Rock took on that name. And then afterwards, he was a good guy, you know, like the best way to compare him would be like, you know, Kofi Kingston being a good guy, you know, textbook good guy. And then afterwards, you know, the fans were, you know, hated Rocky Maivia because he was too much of a goody two shoes. So then, you know, because Stone Cold was getting popular at that time. So then, you know, Rock got injured. And when he came back, he joined the Nation of Domination and then later changed his name to The Rock. And the rest is history. And then before he got injured, his father even helped him out in WrestleMania 13. You know, The Rock's first WrestleMania, you know, before he officially changed his name to The Rock.
Nice.
That's another interesting, you know, tidbit that ties both of them together. But, you know, he'll be definitely missed. And, you know, again, my condolences to the family. But, yeah, switching gears. The news that's shocked the baseball world to its core. There hasn't been a controversy this crazy since, you know, the steroid scandal that basically rocked the baseball world in the last decade. Because, you know, obviously a lot of players were taking steroids in the 90s. But then it was until, like, the early 2000s when wrestlers started to realize, you know, when the public started to really realize that some of these guys were taking steroids and they were getting caught. But since this steroid scandal, yeah, this sign stealing scandal is it's crazy. I mean, there've always been, you know, throughout baseball, you know, there's always been ways people try to steal, cheat, you know, but no one was ever this successful on a grander scale because, you know, of course, you know, in the game, everybody's trying to steal people's signs, but the way that the Astros was able to perfect it was, you know, against the rules because they use, you know, technology to cheat, to steal the signs of opposition, and they were pretty good at it, unfortunately. And as a result, the Astros won their first ever championship, you know. And, of course, you know, A.J. Hinch was the manager. Alex Cora, a longtime baseball player, he was the bench coach. So as a result, you know, they won. Beltran finally won the title. The Astros, a team that was around in baseball, I'd say around 1961. They've been around about a year before the Mets existed, and they've been predominantly a National League team until the past couple of years where say about what year would I say that'd be like 2015 or so is when the Astros joined the National League. I mean, they switched to the American League. And at that same time, you know, they had Altuve and Springer and all those Correa, all those guys come up and change the whole culture of the Astros organization. And basically, you know, that the Astros win the title, you know, people, you know, obviously that the fans of Astros were excited, but, you know, now that we realize that the Astros were cheating, and obviously they, you know, they beat some teams up as a result, and obviously Yankee fans aren't happy about that because the Astros defeated them during that run. But back to the Astros team, they won. And then afterwards, the following year, 2018, the Red Sox with Alex Cora, the former Astros bench coach, he's the manager of the Red Sox, and then they allegedly cheated as well. They won another title, the first title since 2013, I believe. So basically, you know, they that's another team that won and profited off of you know, Alex Cora's cheating. Then the only player that was mentioned in this scandal was Carlos Beltran, who just a few months ago was hired to be the next Mets head coach, or rather a manager. But in a few days ago, as a result of AJ Hinch, the manager from Astros, and Ledbow, the GM for the Astros, were fired, shockingly fired after they were suspended, for a year because of the scandal. Then the domino effect affected Red Sox, which made them fire Alex Cora. So then all eyes were on the Mets. What would the Mets do? Since both franchises fired their managers because of the scandal, what would the Mets do? And here's what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, that Mets, you know, I'm hoping at this point, I'm hoping Mets are not going to fire him, you know, because Beltran did the cheating as a player, you know, not as a manager, which, you know, basically it's the same argument I have for Pete Rose being out of the Hall of Fame, you know, because he did his crime as a manager, not as a player that we know of. But sure enough, I came from, what was this? It was Thursday, I believe, if my memory serves me right. I came from work. I didn't look at any, you know, news, any sports news or anything. And I just had this feeling in my bones that as soon as I was going to look, I was going to find out that the Mets was going to fire him. Because the Mets never came out and said, oh, you know, Dutchman's our guy, you know. What he did was in the past, you know, we spoke to him, you know, da, 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 and, you know, he apologized and all that stuff. No, as soon as I come from work, I check the news, and I'm like, yep, they fired him in my mind. So do I think Beltran deserves to be fired? The answer is no. But Mets would not have been in this situation if they would have hired Joe Girardi. But they blew that. They totally blew it. And they brought this on themselves. So now they embarrassed the organization. The only team out of the three teams that didn't profit out of this, you know, by winning a championship, by this cheating, the Mets is the one, in my opinion, suffered the most. Yes, the Astros was hit with suspensions, you know, suspensions and hit with you know, draft picks and all these other penalties, money penalty and all that stuff. But at least the Astros won a title from it. They deserved the penalties that they did. So did the Red Sox. The Red Sox cheated as well. But the Mets didn't even do anything in this situation. You know, and then the Mets are going to be hit with this. And then Mets cave in to the pressure of looking bad. And then they fire Beltran. Again, they would have never been in this situation if they would have did the right thing and hired Joe Girardi, or at the very minimum, hire Buck Showalter. So before I pass it to you, Mac, to hear what your thoughts, because, you know, I definitely want to hear what you got to say. This is the Mets' chance to right a wrong and hire Buck Showalter, you know. But knowing the Mets, they're not going to do it. They want a yes man that they could control. And as a result, especially in a time like this, when it's just a few weeks away, like what, 3 weeks away from spring training, you want a veteran guy who will weather the storm, a guy who's been through this. Well, not maybe not a situation like this, but a guy who's used to spring training, so that the transitional period could be as seamless as possible. But knowing the Mets, they want to do things the hard way, and that's why, unfortunately, for us Mets fans, we've been waiting for a title, you know, for over 30 years. So, as a Yankee fan, what is your thoughts on this whole baseball saga?
Well, I'm loving it as a Yankee fan because the Astros, man, this sign-stealing scandal, this might be the worst scandal since the Black Sox scandal, you know, in the 1900s. Was it 1919?
1919, to be exact.
1919. This might be just, I mean, they didn't throw the World Series, but they actually ended up winning a World Series by cheating, and the extreme measures that they took to cheat, as far as banging trash cans to signal off-speed pitches to the batters, installing a monitor in the dugout, and there's also rumor that they probably were wearing these buzzer devices on their inside their shirt, mm-hmm. on their shoulder, and someone would just buzz them and let them know when an off-speed pitch was coming. So, I mean, the extreme measure that they took to cheat is, I mean, it's insane. And I agree with the punishment, you know, the draft picks being taken away, the suspension to the manager and the general manager, which led to them eventually being fired. They deserved it. They did this themselves, you know, but as a Yankee fan, I'm loving it because the Astros, you could say now that they cost us a world championship in 2017 and last year due to their cheating. You know, if not there for their cheating, who knows? Maybe the Yankees go on to World Series to beat the Dodgers in 2017. Maybe we go on to win the championship last year and beat the National, you know, and Red Sox as well, because Red Sox, their Cora was their manager, who happened to be the mastermind of this this cheating scandal. You know, there's possibility that he helped his team cheat as well with these sign stealing schemes that they devised while he was in Houston. So it's possible the Red Sox championship from 2018 is tainted as well. So that might have also cost us a championship in 2018. So seeing Cora, seeing the whole Astros catastrophe, I mean, I'm loving it as a Yankee fan because right now the Yankees, they have Gerrit Cole and they're top dogs and World Series contenders. Hey, it just helps the Yankees even more this upcoming season. You know, but this controversy is a bit of a black eye for baseball because baseball has been trying to clear up their image after the steroid scandal. And, you know, this sign-stealing controversy isn't helping things at all. But as far as Beltran is concerned, I agree with you that the Mets should have not fired him, maybe fined him maybe suspend him for the start of the season, just because his name is linked in this, even though he was a player at the time. But seems that he was a step below Cora as far as devising that sign-stealing scheme. But, yeah, I don't think they deserve to fire him. Don't think he deserved it. Should have kept him. I mean, it was he didn't even get to manage one game, you know, prove himself at least. So, I mean, that's a bit disappointing. And now they got to go out and find a new manager quickly here. I'm hearing Dusty Baker probably.
Yeah.
I think Dusty Baker would be a great fit. I mean, he has championship experience, and he's, you know, managing the World Series. So he could definitely, you know, manage this young team and help them win the NL East, hopefully. But I think he'd be a great candidate. Him or Showalter, or even who's the other guy I'm hearing?
John Gibbons. Well, I've heard them go after. I haven't heard them interested in John Gibbons, but John Gibbons would be a good one as well.
I hear even Eduardo Perez.
Yeah, to me, Eduardo Perez is the favorite because I was the guy who was like the runner up to Beltran getting hired a few months ago. The only problem is like I don't know. I mean, he signed a contract with ESPN.
Right.
And two, he's friends with Beltran. So I don't know if he's going to, after his friend got fired, if he's going to take the job. That I don't
know. Yeah, that's true. That's
but,
true.
Yeah, I think he would be the best choice out of the managers with no experience.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm not really a fan of Dusty Baker because I don't think he's much of an in-game strategist. But if I have to choose between anybody, you know, these other guys, and you know, the guys with no experience in him,
obvious choice right now.
Yeah, I would definitely choose him. I mean, other than Buck Showalter, who I don't think they're gonna go after because apparently Brody Van Wagenen doesn't want to face another alpha male type guy who's going to challenge him, you know, in the dugout, you know, his decisions. But, I would say Dusty Baker would be other than Showalter, Baker would be the best choice because they definitely need a veteran guy who has experience. I mean, you know, Dusty has taken basically all his teams to the postseason. He hasn't won it as a manager. I mean, he's won as a player, you know, with the Dodgers when he was a player. But, you know, obviously, you know, he took the Giants during the Bond era to the championship, MLB, you know, the World Series in 2002. That's the closest he's been to ever winning a title.
Yeah, had success with the Cubs as well.
Yes, yeah. Most recently managed the Nationals.
Right.
But, yeah, they definitely need a veteran guy. A veteran guy was needed before they hired Beltran. And this is Mets' chance. Even though I didn't want them to fire Beltran, because, remember, my first choice was Girardi, or a veteran manager. So this is their chance for a do-over. And they gotta make the right decision and hire a veteran guy. So
yeah,
they're not gonna go after Baker. I mean, not Showalter, who would be my perfect choice. They gotta take Dusty Baker.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
They need a veteran guy, a guy who's been to the World Series, a guy who can get them out of this situation. Because you know, the Mets have a young, hungry team. They need a guy who could, you know, lead them to the promised land, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they're battling the Braves, who won the division. They're battling the Phillies, who's easily the most improved team, in the offseason in the NL East. And then, of course, you're battling the world champion Nationals. So the Mets, on paper, they have a good team, but the NL East, as usual, is the most competitive team, you know, league division in baseball, man. So they gotta Mets need to step up their game. They need a manager with experience. Goes without
saying. I agree.
But yeah, let's talk football. Let's talk some football, man. Tomorrow's a huge game, man. This is probably the last game for like diehard football fans because you know the Super Bowl. They got a lot of hoopla, a lot of eyes being glued in, you know, for the commercials and the halftime show. And, of course, you know, you got hardcore fans who basically want to see it, you know, the two best teams battle it out for the biggest prize in football. And tomorrow, man, it's tomorrow's the championship Sunday. You got you got the Tennessee Titans versus Kansas City Chiefs. And then of course, you got the 49ers versus the Packers, man. So, yeah, man, these are some – tomorrow's going to be a classic day in baseball – I mean, rather, in football.
Yep.
So you're going to have Tannehill, you know, him proving himself going against Pat Mahomes, man, the phenom. And then, of course, on the NFC side, you got Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's trying to win another championship, but he's going to be battling Garofalo, you know, in San Francisco. So with the AFC, who do I think is going to win? You know, I'm going to use my Jedi mind trick. And read your mind, Mac. But I think we're gonna agree with each other. I think Pat Mahomes, he's gonna defend the turf and defeat Tannehill tomorrow. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean in the AFC, I'm definitely going with the Chiefs. I mean, the Titans, they're on this Cinderella ride. Where they've beaten the Patriots and they've beaten the Ravens last week.
Mm-hmm.
Two very good teams the last 2 weeks. But right now, Chiefs are too good. You know, you saw last week, the Chiefs were down, you know, to 21-0. They ended up coming back and blowing out the Texans 51-31. So Texans, they put up a lot of points. Their offensive juggernaut. And I think they've been the best team in the AFC all year. And, you know, last year they were robbed of a championship because of the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This year they're looking for revenge. So, yeah, I see the Chiefs winning this game and going to the Super Bowl.
Yep, I'm with you, man. There's no Patriots standing in their way after the Patriots' shocking upset, you know, in that wild card round. You know, the first time the Patriots played in the wild card since, a decade or so.
I
think it's definitely Kansas City. You know, the Chiefs are the boss. You know, they're gonna stomp all over the Titans, and the Titans' Cinderella run is gonna end tomorrow.
Yeah, they better win because I have money on them.
Well, hopefully Mahone is listening. You know, this is gonna cheer him up, man. He's gonna be like, man. You know, I'm tuning into, you know, Sports of the Legend, you know, to, you know, motivate me to win tomorrow. Not winning the championship for the first time ever. You know, it's, you know, trying to, you know, impress the two of us and the listeners of the show right now. And shifting gears, you got Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's gonna try to win his second title eventually if he could get past Garofalo in San Francisco. And you know, I think Rodgers is, you know, is gonna pass that final step before he could go to the to the Super Bowl in a few weeks. So I'm picking Aaron Rodgers to defeat Garofalo and advance to the Super Bowl and have a rematch of Super Bowl I, Kansas City Chiefs versus Green Bay Packers. What's your thoughts?
You know, I think this will be a close game. I'm going to go with the 49ers. Reason being, the Packers offense has been very inconsistent this year. They have a very good defense, but this is not, their offense has been very inconsistent. The 49ers, they've been just playing good all year, offense and defensively. And, you know, in the earlier game against the Packers, they sacked Rodgers like four or five times. I think Rodgers is going to have the same trouble with the 49ers defense. But it's going to be a close game. I think it'll come down to a field goal. I think the Niners will win it, but I think the Niners right now, they have too much weapons on both sides of the ball. So I'm going to go with the Niners. I think we're going to have an all-red Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and I have money on the Niners too, so they better win as well.
Well, then you better hope Garofalo is, you know, is barring some stuff from Alex Cora, so you know, he could, you know, defend his home turf against the Packers, man. So
yeah, hey, you got a lot of veterans. You got a lot of veterans on that Niners team. You got Richard Sherman. You got Tevin Coleman. You got a lot of guys. You know, so it's gonna be a good game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think both games will be. Chiefs games will be. I think the Chiefs will be. That one will be more of a blowout than the NFC game. The NFC game. I agree with you. I think it's gonna be a real close game.
Yeah.
But I think Packers will pull it off. And I guess we should. So you know, I'm thinking it's gonna be Chiefs, Packers. You're thinking it's gonna be 49er, Chiefs. So I guess we should give our Super Bowl predictions next week to say who we think is gonna win. I guess.
Yeah.
Give a little cliffhanger. Just imagine the Force Awakens, Rey handing off. You know, her lightsaber to Luke on a cliff, a literal cliffhanger. Stay tuned next time. Same bat channel, same bat time. So next week we'll give you our Super Bowl predictions.
Definitely.
Based on who advanced. But let's shift gears to WWE. And I'm trying to think what's the biggest thing that happened. On Raw, the funniest moment was R-Truth interrupting Paul Heyman Brock Lesnar's
that was funny.
You know, speech, basically about how Brock Lesnar is gonna, you know, destroy everybody in the Royal Rumble because despite the fact that he's a WWE champion, he's gonna enter the Royal Rumble and try to win it all. And I'm assuming challenge Bray Wyatt for the Universal title, and I guess unify it if Brock Lesnar, you know, does what he says he's gonna do. Because remember, Paul Heyman says that's not a prediction; it's a spoiler. And every spoiler that Paul Heyman has been saying since he destroyed John Cena at SummerSlam several years ago. I mean, he's been, you know, he's been right every time. So
yeah,
I know it's not Royal Rumble, but you know, I gotta believe. I think it's 1 week away. So as of right now, my opinions could change within a week, but I think I'm gonna believe Paul Heyman. But the funniest thing about that skit, man, is Brock Lesnar, you know, of course, you know, he always has that tough guy look, you know. But he could even contain his demeanor.
Yeah.
It was hilarious to see.
It was hilarious, you know. But yeah, it's I don't know. I guess this the potential match between Lesnar and Wyatt, you know, would be good. Would be a good match for WrestleMania as the headliner. But man, how many years have we been asking for Lesnar and
Bobby
Lashley? Yeah.
We've been asking for this.
That's a perfect time to do it, right?
Dude, we've been asking for this match since 2006 because Brock Lesnar left. Well, what year was it? Like 2004, the WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
So then, like, right after that, maybe 2005, 2006 is when Bobby Lashley came. And
right.
people have been, the comparisons between him and Brock Lesnar has been there from day one. You know,
yeah.
Even people even call him Black Lesnar or something, you know.
Yeah.
His gimmick was like, to a T, Brock Lesnar, you know. And then both of them went to MMA.
Right,
Just before they both returned, before Brock Lesnar returned the night after WrestleMania in 2012. I think it was the. I'm trying to remember. I think that was the first year after Rock, the once in a lifetime, if my memory served me right.
I
think that was after
the. I don't remember. I'm not sure.
I think it was the day after Rock and Cena fought.
Mm.
Is when he came back when Brock Lesnar came back. Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened because I think Cena was depressed of losing the title, losing to Rock in Rock's first match WrestleMania match since his 7-year hiatus. So I think John Cena was depressed about it, losing to WrestleMania after all the smack. John Cena was talking about The Rock never being there, not caring about the fans or WWE. So when he was leaving, I think Brock Lesnar came out, shocked everybody. John Cena was going to shake his hand. Brock Lesnar faked it and F5'd them. F5'd the hat right off of Cena's head and, basically... that reignited his feud with John Cena because I'm sure you remember, Mac, John Cena and Brock Lesnar had a heated rivalry before Cena left the United States mid-card level and would later proceed to be challenged for the WWE title during his Word Life Doctor of Tugonomics John Cena era.
Right.
So, that was a... So, Lesnar, man, he's just been dominating since day one, and we desperately need Lesnar to fight against Lashley, man, because this is what we want to see. This is what the fans want to see, And Bobby Lashley, man, he's just stuck in storyline hell with this Rusev and Lana, and now Liv Morgan is dragged into this storyline after they've been hyping her up for weeks or even a month that she's going to come back and do something significant. But this storyline is insane, man. They just need to
kill it,
just end this. Enough is enough. How many times are we going to see these guys fight each other? And now all four of them are going to fight each other in a tag team match, Rusev and Liv versus Lana and her new quote unquote husband Lashley. Like, I mean, come on, it's been done to death. How many times are these guys gonna fight each other? Please do not tell me they're gonna fight each other at WrestleMania. We've seen them fight so many times.
That's what might happen.
Oh my god!
It's looking like it's leading up to that.
This storyline is never gonna end, and that's the problem with WWE. They have rematchitis, man. They just keep fighting each other over and over again. And apparently, what's his name? Corey Graves, he was criticizing the whole feud on his podcast. So, I mean...
You're right.
That shows you right there. Like, a WWE employee is pretty much... He's done with this storyline. and luckily for him, he's not on Raw anymore. He just, he's watching as a fan, and what he notices that there was, the fans are indifferent. They're apathetic to the storyline. They're not even booing. They're clearly not cheering the storyline. They just don't care. And that's a sad state for the WWE, that the fans don't even care. The storyline is so whack that the fans don't even care. They don't even care enough to boo. And that's basically how I feel,
That's how I feel as well. Kill it already.
Like,
I mean,
it's like Baron Corbin to me, man. It's like
real.
I'm not even gonna boo. It's like it's just. I mean, I'm done. I'm over this story. Just like because
you and me both.
Lashley and Rusev are guys who should be competing for the WWE. Should be competing for the WWE or United States champion. Not United States. Universal title. They shouldn't be stuck in a mid card. Hell, battling each other. They're
mm-hmm.
literally canceling each other out. Both of these guys should have been champions for sure.
I agree.
It's a joke. Apparently Rusev is leaving soon. That's the rumor.
Oh really?
Yeah, that's the rumor. And Revival as well. The Revival. And you know, in typical WWE fashion, when people are leaving, they just have them. Lose. They just have them keep on losing. Lashley might even be leaving too.
Wow.
You know, it's just ridiculous. So, WWE needs to get their act together. Let me see what else. Before I talk about what happened in Impact Wrestling, and I guess AEW as well. But let me see. What happened on SmackDown yesterday? I know, what's his name?
Oh, I missed SmackDown yesterday.
You missed SmackDown?
Yeah.
Roman Reigns, he battled Robert Roode and defeated him, by putting him through a table. You know, it was a table match. Because Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler interfered, but then the Usos, helped out their cousin, Roman Reigns, and they both did like a splash off the barricade through the announcer's table to take out who did they take out? Oh, Dolph Ziggler, and then that allowed Roman Reigns to spear Robert Roode, who returned last week, you know, after being injured for weeks, and he got speared. He got speared by a nasty spear by Roman Reigns for the victory in the main event. I don't remember anything else that happened on SmackDown. Oh, John Morrison, he had, I think, his first match, 1-on-1 match in like 8 years. Against Big E, he defeated him, you know, with the Starship Pain, his old school finishing move. Yeah, but I can't think of anything else that happened on SmackDown or WWE. But shifting gears, Impact Wrestling, they made, I don't know if you heard about this, but Impact Wrestling made news last week, Tessa Blanchard defeated Sammy Callihan. I forgot how you pronounce his name. So forgive me, folks, if you guys watch Impact, you know, or any of the guys who know how to pronounce his last name. But Tessa Blanchard, she defeated him in an intergender match and became the first ever woman's world champion. So. Yeah, at the Hard to Kill pay-per-view event. So, you know, congratulations to her.
Congrats.
But, however, before she defeated Sammy Callihan, I forgot how you pronounce the guy's name, last name. You know, he was an indies guy before he signed with Impact. I think he might have even been with WWE briefly, like their minor, like NXT. Maybe before it was called NXT. He was in it, but what was I gonna say? Yeah, so basically, you know, there's some, you know, female wrestlers who she's fought in the past. They basically were claiming that, you know, she said some racist stuff in the past. So. Some people thought that Impact Wrestling wasn't going to put the title on her as a result of, her allegedly saying the N-word and you know, some people, you know, claim that she was racist. But,
wow.
You know, Impact Wrestling, you know, they decided to put the title on her. But Booker T, on his podcast, you know, he said that it was the worst decision Impact Wrestling did, you know, because they feel like since they put a title on a woman, you know, she had, you know, when if she like goes back to the eventually goes back to the women's division, she has to be every woman.
Yeah.
You know? She has
right.
to be, you know. But you know, that's, you know. Apparently, she's continuing. You know, she's continuing the feud with Sammy, because because he cut a promo on her, basically saying that he's not done with her yet. You know, when she was doing an interview with Josh Matthews and the former Met, former WWE announcer.
Right.
So, you know, that's that. And AEW, I didn't see AEW either, but I know that, Chris Jericho's group, the Inner Circle, they attacked John Moxley, you know, formerly known as Dean Ambrose. And Jericho took a spike out of his jacket and striked Moxley in the face. So
oh wow!
After the week prior to that, Moxley he basically played the Inner Circle and. You know, he was pretending like he was going to join their, you know, join the group, which Jack Swagger, who's now known as Jake Hager, he's in that group as well. And basically he pretended like he was going to join Jericho's group in the Inner Circle. And then he basically attacked the guys, including smashing Jericho with a bottle of champagne. So Jericho returned the favor this past Wednesday and attacked them.
Wow.
So that, you know, their feud's, you know, continuing. And then on NXT, I think Bianca Belair won a woman's Battle Royale. So she's the number one contender for the NXT women's title. So I think even Keith Lee also won a number one contender too. So he's going to challenge Roderick Strong for North American NXT title. So a lot of crazy stuff happening in wrestling right now.
Yeah, but, for real. And I haven't seen AEW or NXT in a while, so gotta start watching those two.
Yeah, but any last thing you'd like to say?
Just thanks for having me as usual, and yeah, enjoy the games tomorrow, and you know, stay tuned for my show here on. Well, not on Block Talk Radio, but I'll keep you updated on my iMac coming back soon.
All right, cool. You heard the guy. You know, keep your eyes locked in and your ears locked in to Mac's upcoming announcements. You know, always check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. Of course, check out Sports Urban Legend, the podcast, only on Block Talk Radio. Every Saturday is at 11. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon, and I'll see you guys next week with my Super Bowl predictions and Royal Rumble predictions as well. So see you guys soon. Peace.